This week we read about the tragic story of Korach. Korach and his followers accused Moshe of prejudice. They reasoned that they should also be given the opportunity to perform the Avodah in the Mishkan. Korach is remembered infamously for all time. Korach's rebellion is one of the great tragedies that Klal Yisrael experienced during their years in the Midbar. The Medrash in Parshas Baloischa says, "At the inauguration of the Mishkan, when Aharon HaKohen saw that all the Nesim offered their sacrifices and he wasn't included, he despaired, he was despondent. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu consoled him, and he said, 'Chayecha, I swear, Shulcha gedoyla mishalahem, your portion will be greater than theirs, Sha'ata madlik emeitev esaneres, because you will arrange and light the candles.'" The Ramban understands Hashem's promise to Aharon as referring to the Chanukah menorah that Yidden will light throughout the generations, and that consoled Aharon. If you think about it, Hashem's response is very atypical. Ostensibly, what was Aharon's complaint? "It's not fair. Why am I excluded?" What's the typical reply? "Life is not fair." When Rabbi Akiva was tortured by the Romans, a seemingly much greater injustice, what did Hashem respond? "Shtoik, kach also b'machshavtoi. I have my cheshbonos, and I won't reveal them to you." So why by the inauguration of the Mishkan doesn't Hashem respond to Aharon, "I got this, I know what I'm doing"? Why was Hashem so kind and generous in his response to Aharon? And the answer is, when it comes to ruchnias, spiritual aspirations, envy is to be commended. Kin is saw from tar b'chachma. Jealousy amongst Tamidei Chachamim increases wisdom. The sense of competition, the fight for supremacy is wonderful and healthy. However, when it comes to the material world, people complain, "Why am I struggling financially, struggling with my health, with my children, with shidduchim?" Hashem says, "I have a cheshbon, and you can't figure out my ways." What about Korach? On the surface, one can surmise that both Aharon and Korach were acting with altruistic motives. They were both driven by spiritual aspirations. They both wanted to do the Avodah in the Mishkan and come closer to Hashem. So why is Aharon's chalishus hadas considered virtuous and laudable, and Korach's envy and jealousy considered destructive and toxic? So once more, a powerful idea as to the distinction between the two. Chalishus hadas is directed inward. Jealousy is directed outward. Chalishus hadas is felt when one had previously thought that a certain accomplishment was personally unattainable until he sees that someone else was able to master it. At that point, he's bothered. "Why didn't I also achieve that lofty level? Why can't I be a Rosh Yeshiva? Why don't I get a promotion? What am I doing wrong?" The other person's accomplishments demonstrates to himself his own failing. Jealousy, however, is focused on the other person. It bothers the jealous person that someone else has something that he doesn't have. He's not motivated by ambition and growth, but rather by greed and jealousy. So how can we know if the feeling we have is a result of chalishus hadas or jealousy? And the answer is, if we are able to be pacified by being told that we will accomplish the same thing at a later time, that is indicative of the fact that it's chalishus hadas. If we are sincerely driven by a desire to be great, we will be comforted in knowing that for now we have done all we can, and the positive outcome will occur when the time is right. However, someone who is driven by jealousy won't be satisfied knowing that he has done his best. The fact that someone else is ahead of him or received the position he wanted will continue to eat away at him and will give him no peace. That is the epitome of jealousy. When Aharon felt chalishus hadas, Hashem told him, "Shulcha gedoyla mishalahem." Hashem was telling Aharon, "You feel badly that you couldn't bring about Kvod Shemayim like the other Nesiim? Don't worry about it. There will come a time when your descendants will generate even greater Kvod Shemayim." When Aharon heard that, he understood that it was not a failing on his part, so he was satisfied. The fact that it wouldn't come for some time, that didn't bother him. For now, he had done all he could. Korach, on the other hand, had a different reaction. Rashi asks, "Korach shepikachoye, ma ra lishtozeh?" Korach was a smart person. He was very astute. How could he be so irrational? Says Rashi, his vision deceived him. Hashem showed him prophetically a great chain of descendants emerging from him, including the great prophet Shmuel Hanavi. Why did Hashem do that? Because that vision provided the real test whether Korach's motive was altruistic or plain jealousy. When Korach recognized that Shmuel would descend from him, that should have pacified him. If his real motive was to bring about Kvod Shemaim, he should have concluded, it will come, but not yet. The fact that Korach drew the opposite conclusion and demanded greater prestige because of his great descendant showed that he wasn't motivated by Kvod Shemaim, but rather by selfish desire for power and jealousy. And that's the difference between Aharon and Korach. There's a story told that when Rav Shach was a young yeshiva bacher, he lived in tremendous poverty. At one point, he was invited to join the prestigious yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin. It was for the most elite bacherim of the time. It was housed in an upscale building, and the students were treated royally as befitting great Talmidei Chachamim. As can be imagined, Rav Shach was very excited by the invitation. However, he first went to consult with the Gadladar, Rav Chaim Oizer. And Rav Chaim Oizer told him not to go. Rav Shach tried to explain to him how difficult his situation was, and how much better it would be if he joined the yeshiva. Rav Chaim Oizer told him, "Laser, your time will come, but not yet." 10 years later, Rav Shach was speaking to a friend, and he recounted the conversation with Rav Chaim Oizer. He said, "It's been 10 years, and I'm still living in terrible poverty. I never know where my next meal will come from." Fast forward 30 years, in the early 80s, this same friend was in Bnei Barak and went to visit Rav Shach. By then, Rav Shach was the renowned Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich and was known across the globe as the leader of the Torah world. He entered Rav Shach's home, and after they exchanged some pleasantries, he said, "I just wanted to remind the Rosh Yeshiva that the greater Rav Chaim Oizer's words have been fulfilled. Your time has definitely arrived. If we work for something and we really mean it L'Shem Shemaim, it might take some time. But Hashem says Chayecha, I swear it will come to fruition." And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.